Obsession, obsession, obsession. Obsession is your key to greatness. Expose yourself to more experience, not distraction, and let curiosity pull you down a rabbit hole of discovery. Once you find the thing you can't pull yourself away from, work to make it a sustainable part of your life. This is a lesson that I discovered in my childhood. I was always obsessed with finding a better way of living. Everywhere I went, I paid close attention to people's actions, and this wasn't meant to be in a judgmental way, even though when I was a teenager or a child, I'm sure that there was some judgment involved. We all judge people. It's okay. But I want to shift that from judgment to discernment, right? I wanted to observe people's actions and see where it led them in life, or observe people's actions now so that I could discern, okay, if I do these things, will it lead to the life they have now? And do I want that or do I not want that? Do they look like they have the life that I want to live? And with enough data from observation and seeing what they do, seeing what they put in their grocery baskets or seeing what they do just on a daily basis, they go to work, they go home, they watch Netflix, they fall asleep, they repeat, they don't really push into the unknown. Do I want that or do I not want that? I often found myself questioning what, how, and why. What were they pursuing? If every action is toward a conscious or unconscious goal, it seemed like everyone was eager to be overweight, unhealthy, overworked, and broke. They didn't have self-generated goals that shaped their decision-making. How did that person get to where they are? Why did they look that way? Was it because they picked up a 1,000-calorie dessert drink for breakfast with a sandwich that leaked grease from its wrapper? Why did they go to the same job that clearly caused them immense suffering? How did they not see the opportunity all around them, the digital world unfolding right before their eyes? A world of information and technology that they can use to learn and build in record time. Due to my questioning and observation, I had conditioned myself to believe that getting a 9-to-5 job was the bane of my existence. I believed that it was honestly the worst outcome that could happen in my life. Because it seemed like once people accepted a job offer when they were just exiting college or when they're entering their 20s or even in their late 20s when they start their career, it seemed like they were just doomed to a life of comfort a majority of the time. Obviously not all of the time, but 95% plus of the time. That's what it seems like if you just observe society. They would fill their plate with never-ending responsibilities, a mortgage, spouse, and kids before they had the financial capability to truly dedicate their time and energy to those things. It looked like they were quick to become an adult, but were never able to reap the rewards of being one. They chained themselves to a paycheck because they never made the choices or decisions that led to more money and time. The danger of employment goes far beyond this, as we will discuss. But before we dive in, Cortex, the second brain software that I've been building for quite a long time now, is nearing completion, but we are not launching version 0 to the public. We're launching it to students inside Cortex University. We currently have 40 people in there, and that will continue to grow, but we limit cohorts. We limit the number of people within a cohort to make sure it's impactful. And if you want early access or lifetime access to Cortex, I would consider joining Cortex University. It's a very expensive program. It's a new university. I just want to make that clear here that you are going to see the price and you are going to be shocked. And the price is not on the landing page. So it's up to you to actually read the landing page and see if it's worth your money and time. We're using this as an opportunity to build the best program that the internet has ever seen, and hopefully down the road, a year or 2 years from now, actually compete with college level programs and help people create their own career rather than be assigned one and doing so as a synthesizer in the creator economy. So the link to that is in the description, but we need to talk about the psychology and danger of employment. So here is a graphic that I've made before. And this aligns, if you've seen my graphic on Flowed, I took that and I repurposed it to this, the psychology of employment, where you can see the white line, solid white line that is employment. When you first start out, you are increasing your skill, you're increasing the challenge that you take on, and life is fairly meaningful. It feels good to have pursued something more and take on further challenge, and you're branching into the unknown, you're learning new things, you're at your edge where meaning and fulfillment are. But with the longer you stay in a job or employment without pursuing a further challenge or increasing your skill set, you eventually just go into the eternal known. Life becomes boring. You start chasing cheap dopamine. You're in this endless cycle of comfort. Now, the dotted line, entrepreneurship, is the complete opposite. It's the natural progression. And you can see that white circle where they intersect, that is a great time to actually switch to entrepreneurship. And that's what I did, is I got a job at a web design agency while I was trying to freelance with web design so that I could learn the skills that would allow me to do it myself. And entrepreneurship flows in alignment with nature. It helps your psyche encounter more meaningful and fulfilling events in life, because it's not just a static, like, very boring and comfortable day after day after day. There's highs, there's lows. You're going to have high revenue. You're going to have low revenue. You're going to have high growth. You're going to have low growth. You're going to be forced to evolve in this ever-changing marketplace. And a job with just set tasks isn't going to help you do that. I see 9-to-5 jobs as a stepping stone. My problem with them is that they breed complacency and are dangerous for your psyche. Challenge is what makes life fun and interesting. If you halt your personal evolution by never pursuing something more, you lose purpose and fulfillment. Entrepreneurship is the only logical option for long-term thinkers. Entrepreneurship is the path of uncertainty, like slashing your way through the jungle. You are required to learn skills that aren't taught in schools. You are required to be okay with failure, rejection, and slow progress. You are required to learn from your mistakes, show up again tomorrow, and push until you strike gold. Your psyche is wired to hunt. And the physical world has changed much faster than our mind can adapt. We still have the same neurobiological processes as our ancestors. If you stay in a 9-to-5 job for too long, you become a monkey in a cubicle. And I'm talking, like, metaphorically, obviously, here. I'm not calling you a monkey in a cubicle. I'm saying you are like a monkey in a cubicle. You are like a monkey who lives in the jungle that is trapped in a fluorescent lit box. Is that healthy for the monkey? When you get stuck in a 9-to-5 or a new 9-to-5, like an agency or freelancing, you live in the eternal known. You can't make new discoveries in the known. You get bored, depressed, and see life as meaningless because the only dopamine you get is from superficial sources. You never take risks, push into the unknown, and discover new knowledge, tools, and potentials that raise dopamine levels in the brain. As an entrepreneur, you hunt for your survival by gathering knowledge, creating a valuable product, and putting it in front of people who could benefit from it. I actually wrote a tweet yesterday that lines up with this pretty well, so I'm going to go look it up and I'm going to read it to you. If you aren't selling your product, you are selling someone else's. Everyone is selling something, and people see this as a bad thing rather than a necessity for modern survival. Selling equals survival. Do it daily or you'll get stuck selling something you hate for someone you hate. One thing that people don't realize here is that when I'm talking about a product, I'm talking about anything that you communicate or exchange with someone else. When you're having a conversation with someone, your ideas are the product. You're selling them, no matter whether you think it's selling or not. Don't interpret the word selling literally here. You are reproducing the contents of your mind, because animals survive the content in their genes and humans survive the content in their consciousness. You are replicating your identity. That is how you create a self. When you have a child, you are giving them the information. They are learning. You are teaching them the information that shapes who they are. Just because you had a child doesn't mean they're going to grow up and become the person they were. They have all of this, these billions of bits of information shaping their self. That's what I mean by human survival is conceptual or mental. So that's what I mean when I say selling equals survival, is that we're in a competition. There's competition, there's collaboration, there's a bunch of different perspectives to go along with this, but you're in competition with other people to survive. And people that get stuck in these draining jobs and don't realize that they are selling a product, you're selling the product of your boss, and then they don't realize that, oh, my boss is selling a product, he is surviving, he is competing well in this game of life. Why don't I go sell a product? Because everyone has to. People see this as a bad thing, or they comment under like Chris Williamson's post about his new productivity drink, and it's like everyone's selling a product nowadays. Yeah, you have to. Just like try not selling anyone's product, even your bosses. Just sit inside, don't do anything. Ego death, whatever you want to call it, that's fine. But try not selling. Try not surviving. You're not going to survive. It's as simple as that. So the thing here is that we don't have to hunt for food anymore, but we have to hunt for the resources that allow us to actually get food and everything else that we need to survive. Aristotle condemned manual labor as harmful to the body and soul. The ancient Greeks saw work as a necessary part of life, but only as a means to leisure, creativity, and contemplation, as they considered them the keys to happiness. Without work, leisure loses its meaning, and vice versa. Like if you were to go on vacation for 2 weeks, towards the end of that, towards week three, you're going to be thinking, oh, like I kind of want to get back to work. I want to get back home. I want to get back into my regular routine. There has to be that push-pull. Like retirement is such a silly concept to me of just not working anymore. Like maybe working on the something you want to work on, but work and rest are both necessary parts of life. If your eternal rest means it loses its meaning without work, you need the balance. You need the push, the pull. Manual work isn't always bad, but completing mindless tasks for the sake of survival or status makes you no different than a robot or animal. So now, the title of this video is The Future of Work is Play. So let's talk about that. There are almost 7 billion people on this planet. Someday, I hope, there will be almost 7 billion companies. That is a quote that has lived in my head rent-free by Naval Ravikant, because I see this unfolding in the creator economy. If you've watched my other videos, you understand my worldview on the future of work and just the decentralization of work and individuals, technology allowing individuals to create their own careers and create self-sufficient communities in the creator economy, like someone selling clothing, others selling knowledge, others selling planners, others selling home-cooked meals that are delivered to someone. When I was reading the anthology of Balaji earlier this week, it said something along the lines of first physical, then digital, then native digital. So if it can be done on the internet right now, it will be done on the internet in the future. And another insight, this isn't a direct quote, I believe, but another insight that I pulled from the book is that money is a tool for building what you want, but doesn't yet exist. So money to me now, and my philosophy around it, has been forming away from the materialistic pursuit of cars, houses, etc. Like I feel that hasn't been that for a long time, but I feel like a lot of people get introduced to the space via that shallow pursuit. And so I'd be lying if I said that like I wasn't interested in those things before and that I am still not interested in them. But the thing there is like I've gone down that path, and I've also realized that it's not a completely materialistic or superficial pursuit. The pursuit of, let's say, a car or a house is just like a superficial goal that takes you down a deeply spiritual path of highs and lows and failures and learning how to master your mind and become an actual entrepreneur and solve creative problems in your life. Technology and the internet are how you build a solution that leads to personal and collective progress. Evolution is about solving problems with technology. That's what we do as humans. That is our edge. That is what sets you apart from other beings and has led to the complex world we live in, filled with skyscrapers, libraries, sports, and the infinite internet. We build, create, and solve our own problems with a plan, focus, and creativity. This is arguably the meaning of human existence, is to create. Humans have the innate drive to survive the information in their genes and consciousness. We have built technology since the dawn of time for the sake of life extension and youth extension. The drive to preserve our physical bodies is natural, but it's not for the reason that most people think. Humans survive on the conceptual level. We attempt to reproduce the contents of our minds, the ideas, beliefs, and values that make us who we are. As I discussed earlier, with a child not only being a physical body, a child, a self, is a web and system of ideas. For us to become immortal, the drive to survive our physical form and extend our youth is necessary to increase the time in which we can spread our ideas to ripple throughout consciousness and hopefully win the battle of good against evil. The biosphere, or biology, must remain intact for the new sphere, or mind, to expand and transcend to whatever is next. In this sense, it makes sense why we do what we do. Authors become immortal by passing down their ideas to live in the heads and shape the selves, and the self being a system or web of ideas that those ideas come from somewhere. They come from the authors, the thought leaders, the parents, the teachers, etc. So authors are becoming immortal by impregnating the minds of other people by through their books, through their writing, through their articles, through these videos, et cetera, et cetera. This entire human existence is just a game of selling better ideas that lead to collective progress and transcendence and evolution. And it feels good to do so. It feels good to reproduce. It feels good to reproduce on the conceptual or mental level by writing and passing along and improving people's lives, not making them worse. Good versus evil, and you contributing to good. Authors and creators have had more children than Genghis Khan. We read books and adopt ideas that align with our goals as a part of our identity. And since most people have the goals of society assigned to them, they are perceiving and storing information that reinforces their identity. The masses are the children of society. I talk about goals and systems in the last video. You won't be the same person in 6 months, but we have to understand here that society is a behavior system, and they are reaching children early through just their parents not questioning anything, and their parents teaching what they learn from their parents and schools and etc. So society as a collective ego or collective self, or just the identity of humanity in a sense, that's what it is. It's an identity. It reaches children early and shapes more selves, or has more children than, like, it has all the children, has 95% of children, unless they question their identity and create themselves through the information that they gather through curiosity, which is what we're going to talk about in the next video. This all points a finger at the future of work. Through evolution and technology, we have been removing labor work from our eyes. To me, this seems like the human drive to pursue creative work further to advance the expansion and unity of mind and consciousness. We want to do what we want, when we want, in a positive direction by pursuing our interests, solving our problems, and building solutions that create heaven on earth. Never has this been more of an option for the majority of the population. We have the technology available to us to create our ideal lives with the internet. So now let's discuss just the concept of the digital renaissance, which I've talked about many times before. But the future of work, in my eyes, belongs to the creative. The writers, the designers, the speakers, the builders, the creators, the synthesizers. The highest paid individuals are and will be those who use the creative ability of their mind to solve problems that prevent progress in humanity. And this is what we're teaching in Cortex University on becoming a synthesizer in 90 days. A synthesizer of experience so you can create your own career. Ideas are the building blocks of the creative worker. Ideas are the building blocks of a better future. Ideas are also the primary pursuit of the creative worker because they need to channel ideas towards goals, or they just need to have the idea of a goal in the first place to start to channel more towards it and build it. What people don't realize is that there is a way to achieve impossible ideas. You just need to create a path that allows you to actualize that reality. Elon Musk wanted to land on Mars a few years ago. This was impossible, but it is becoming more and more possible by the day. He didn't start with SpaceX. He made smart choices among many dumb ones. You can't skip making mistakes, to the point of having companies, capital, and a path to land on Mars. Most people try to make the impossible possible, but fail because they skipped building the ideas that must come before. The plow came before the tractor. The filing cabinet came before the second brain. The horse-drawn carriage came before the car. And most of the time, people didn't know that the car could have existed had they not built the other solutions that made it a possibility. That's the thing here. Another practical use case for this is that you don't know what you want in your life because you just haven't pursued anything. You haven't exposed yourself to actually be able to discover what you want in your life. You can't just sit around and think of it. You can't just sit around and do what society has been telling you to do and get trapped in this narrow path of, like, 0.01% of the information that you can find in reality. You have to explore your curiosity to be able to actually figure out what you want. And it's going to take time. You can't experience, like, 100% of reality. One, that's impossible. Two, you can't experience, let's say, 50% of reality in, like, your entire lifetime. So you better start exploring now so you actually have a chance, because many people, one, aren't going to pursue it in the first place. Two, they aren't going to give themselves enough time to potentially find the thing that they want in life. And a lot of people won't, just by the nature of the game. We are going through what seems to be a second renaissance, a digital one, an eternal one. As we expand to new planets and the human race hits trillions in numbers, there will be thousands of Einsteins and Nietzsches. We are back in a time where artists, thinkers, and creatives are rewarded for their risk. This is not a time for specialists, nor is it a time for generalists. We live in a time of specialized generalism. you must laser in on a specific vision for the future and acquire the general skill and knowledge that will actualize each ascending goal that creates that vision. Success is not as simple as learning one skill. And as we will find, self-education and skill acquisition for life is a necessity for creating a life of sovereignty. So now let's discuss the new economy, what the new economy is. The universe divides and reunites like the ocean evaporates and condenses back down into rain. We will call this a cycle of centralization and decentralization. Social media has caused a shift from centralized media to decentralized media. Synthesizers or creators are decentralized media companies. They compose the new public school system that is available to anyone with an internet connection. Individuals are creating new jobs, teaching new information, and creating new paths that schools and governments can't keep up with. Few people recognize the importance of social media as the new digital society. Most people still see it as a place to entertain themselves or just like a place to complete a few tasks at work. In reality, media shapes culture, society, and the economy. Media is how we learn. Media is how we get new information. Media is how we communicate the value of our businesses. Media consumes a large portion of our lives. It creates a social fabric that people rely on for civilization to operate as it does. Social media is the collective consciousness that spreads ideas that people can adopt as their identity. So, in my eyes, social media is just like society in that it creates the most children or selves in the world at this point. But the creators are what compose social media right now. And that isn't centralized like government and society are. Creators, value creators, synthesizers have the opportunity to actually change the direction of human evolution. A creator can send out a message to millions of people in the blink of an eye. Imagine trying to send a message to a million people 50 years ago. It would have taken months, if not longer. Social media changes how we spend our money because it changes what message is adopted and spread by creators. There are synthesizers who pursue their goals, collect ideas to creatively achieve them, and distribute a valuable message to their readers. Then, there are the general influencers who attract the masses with looks rather than depth for the sake of reinforcing their ego. They may be unconsciously leading society toward a dead end. The world needs more synthesizers. I honestly see it as one of the main career paths in the future. Like, big picture synthesizer. There's many career paths that fall under that, but just having your own distribution, being your own media company, attracting attention to your work and being able to sell that as an individual. Again, this is why we're starting Cortex University, to hopefully be ahead of things and actually provide the best education and establish ourselves as the best option for the future of work. With automation and AI, it only makes sense that people will start to lean towards actual people more for their media fix, for their learning, the innate drive to learn. I'm not talking about entertainment or just getting a quick dopamine hit here. I'm talking about something that is actually necessary for human existence and evolution. Personal brands, creators, synthesizers, the same thing, but different nuance and impact. People who educate, entertain, and inspire according to their interest. Unless we rewrite the collective psyche, which hasn't changed much in a few hundred years, then this is inevitable. People are attracted to people, not robots. Robots have their place in decreasing labor and increasing human creativity, though. If you want to understand more of my business philosophy, go check out the One Person Business playlist or the Digital Writer playlist, or what this is going to create is the Synthesizer playlist. So watch any of those and just binge watch the episodes, because you're only getting 1% of the information within this video. There's a lot more to it. Also, a note there, don't try to just, you have to learn about things like consistently a lot. So go learn. Now, let's talk about how to create your own career. So here's a graphic where I see this as the future of work, or really the main just big picture career path, where there's you, then you pursue your curiosities, then you go in the content or code route or both, as we'll discuss, then you either become an employee or you become an entrepreneur straight out of the gate. But you can also become an employee to help you gain the skills to become an entrepreneur, and you can use your money that comes from being an employee to fuel whatever it is you're doing as an entrepreneur. And then once you have a product, which you're also selling as an employee, but once you have a product, then you find distribution. You are the distribution with code and content, and that equals really as much money as you want. So that's just big picture overview, but let's actually dive into it. Curiosity leads to learning. Learning leads to obsession. Obsession leads to a life that you never thought was possible. A life filled with enjoyment, winning, and an impact on those who see the value in the path you've carved out of reality. With the rapidly evolving technology available to use, we no longer have to remain a puppet of society. We can make the conscious personal choice to use the tools that have been built for us in the new economy. We have the chance to create a career, not be assigned one. This is the career path of the future, and the direction you take with it is your choice. The first and foundational step is just self-education, not formal education. Even though that can be useful, self-education, above all. A synthesizer is a digital renaissance man. They are constant self-educators. They acquire the knowledge and skill to actualize their goals. They let the goals they create, not the ones society assigned to them, be their interest compass. The future of work is based on creativity, not productivity. Creativity is using your diverse knowledge and interests to help you achieve a goal or whatever it is you are building. If you haven't learned anything outside of what you've been told to learn, you aren't an actual creative. You aren't solving creative problems. It's impossible to be an entrepreneur, or at least an entrepreneur in the future. If you're going to the same schools that teach the same thing to every single person, that's not creativity. It can be creativity, but you don't have the creative firepower that is unique interests and knowledge and skills to actually create, combine those into something new. You can, but when you only know what's taught in schools, you're only giving yourself potentials or options to create the same thing that may have already been created. You can't create something rare or unknown without going down a rare or unknown path. And this is less about becoming an expert in certain skills or interests. This is more about having a constant influx of information to help fuel and apply to the goals that you're achieving and the things that you're building. If you haven't started yet, you must start with the foundation: mind, body, spirit, and business. Educate yourself on how to solve the most burning, profitable problems in your own life and others. If you want to make money reasonably fast, you must solve your superficial problems and help others solve theirs. Do your part in raising the collective consciousness by helping others transcend the problems that keep them in a lower state of consciousness. Learn, build, and sell a product around fitness, relationships, mental health, or financial freedom. By pursuing these goals, your path will be unique. It's obvious that nobody's path is the same. The knowledge you acquire by achieving these goals is unique to you. Everybody's niche is self-actualization. But the reason this isn't just like common knowledge is because before the internet, people would self-actualize in public through business. The ones that are building rockets like Musk's and Bezos are in the self-actualization niche. They are taking humanity to Mars so we can expand. They are helping the self or collective or ego or identity of humanity expand. They're much further beyond the personal low-level problems that they started out with. Now we have to talk about the meta skills, which are code and content. So code and content umbrella every other skill that you need to learn in order to actually make it in this world going digital. And if everything that can be done on the internet will be done on the internet, then learning these skills is not optional. So under that are what I call results-oriented skills. I talk about everything I'm going to talk about right now in the Million Dollar Skill Stack video. You don't need to learn to code, but you need technical know-how. You need to understand the tools you can use to build a better life. Email marketing, graphic design, video editing, website and funnel building, etc. These are all technical tools to help you establish your foothold as a personal brand in the digital society. Code, in this sense, is digital real estate if you don't plan on being a programmer. Learn everything you can to build more digital real estate in the creator economy. This is landing pages, products, lead magnets, whatever hosts content, videos. Like, you have to get on certain social medias. You have to put things out there. Then next is the evergreen skills. Code is the vessel for content, and content is the only way to actually get in front of people's eyes. Because there's the structure, which is code. Code is structure, content is content. Structure, in this case, is like the landing page, the email, the video, whatever it may be. The content is what people are actually seeing within that, and what is catching their attention, what is persuading them, what is making them change their behavior. Writing, speaking, marketing, and sales are the skills that provide the impactful message for your results-oriented skills. You can't just write a social post and expect it to do well. You need to understand mechanics and psychology. Marketing and sales are applied mechanics and psychology, so learn them. And then the fourth piece is just personal interests. Because right now you're learning a vast array of skills that allow you to build a business. You have to realize this is the one downside of actually doing this thing, is that you have to learn everything. I mean, most business owners have to do that anyways, but you have to learn everything. You can't just study one skill. You can't just study one interest. You have to understand everything that goes into building a profitable business. And when you are the business as a creator in the creator economy, that's what I mean. Your personal brand or your creator brand is your personal resume. It's your digital resume. You've learned to write, speak, market, and sell through your emails, content, and web pages. That, plus actually posting things, is how you start to build an audience. But your personal interests are what set you apart and determine what you sell. Any of the above relating to business can be considered personal interests, but so can anything you've learned studying the mind, body, or spirit. Your job is to use your skills to monetize the interests that make you unique. So now you understand the skills of making money, but then you have to have what to make money with, and that's your personal interest. If your personal interest is fitness or philosophy or spirituality or business, it can be anything. You pick one or multiple and you monetize it with the skills you've learned. And if you don't know how to monetize it, then you haven't learned the skills well enough or practiced them. So now let's talk about the dynamic between employees and entrepreneurs. Most people dream of being the CEO of a billion-dollar company, but can't even be the CEO of their own life. The employee mindset is extremely difficult to break. And that's why I say you need to get out of it sooner rather than later, so you aren't further conditioned and programmed into this mind, making it even harder to get out of. You don't pursue anything other than what you know. You don't continue developing your skill set beyond the work that is assigned to you. You wait to be told what to do in your work and life. You don't make the decision yourself. Your parents are still your bosses even when you've moved out. The programming still tugs at your mind and influences your choices. Entrepreneurs have a distinct set of traits that align with our ancestors and nature. They push into the unknown and create new paths. They build solutions to creative problems that advance humanity. They never stop acquiring knowledge and applying it in reality. You can take either path in the new economy. Employers, hire based on your social media. Creators, hire based on your social media. Brands, hire based on your social media. Clients, hire based on your social media. Customers, buy based on your social media. You can be an employee, but understand that entrepreneurship is an eventual step you will have to take if you want full control over your life and income. So what I'm saying here is that you can work for other creators to get into this creator economy rather than working a traditional job that doesn't live up to its promises of security. You can create your own security by working for a creator, learning the skills that allows you to be an irreplaceable asset in any creator business, and then end up creating your own anyways so that you're in full control of your direction. Now, assigned versus created products. We talked about this before when I brought up the example of someone commenting, everyone is selling a product nowadays, under one of Chris Williamson's posts about his new productivity drink. And the commenter said this as a negative thing, you could just tell. As if they aren't working for someone who is selling a product. As if they aren't selling that person's product for them in some direct or indirect way. Yes, everyone has a product nowadays because it is a requirement if you don't want to be assigned a product to sell. And then people say, I don't want to sell, it's sleazy. Then you don't understand sales. You are selling me your ideas right now to reproduce and survive your narrow identity. By doing nothing, you allow people less conscious and intelligent than you to have more attention, impact, and money than you. By doing nothing, you become a puppet to society and are assigned an unconscious life to live of selling others' products and never realizing it. Create a product that you would buy, use, and benefit from. That is the only shortcut in business. You belong to a niche. You have purchased products from that niche, and if you understand anything about business, you should skip 50% of the trial and error and sell what you've bought, but better. Now, we have skills. We have traffic with an audience because we built it as a creator. We have a product. We skipped the trial and error so that we actually know that it sells, but we use our personal experience and interests as the way to set it apart. Now we need to talk about distributing that product and leverage. Build distribution, then build whatever you want. That's a quote, again, that's lived in my head for like 2 to 3 years now, rent-free by Jack Butcher. How to start a billion-dollar company? Don't. Start as one person. Leverage the technology available to you. Deploy digital real estate until you have ample distribution of your products and services. Write posts every single day that live on your profile. Network with people to get them shared so you can grow without the algorithm. I talk about this in How to Grow an Audience with Zero Followers, something. Get on podcasts to build your authority, plug your newsletter so you own your audience, give away small free products to build your newsletter more, sell a low-ticket product to have more people dedicated to your brand. With an audience of 10,000, newsletter of 1,000, and network of 100, you can do anything you want. You have the resources to make a full-time income at this point. That takes a year. If you do things actually correct, you take a few courses, that's possible in a year. Most people just, one, they buy the courses, don't actually do anything. Two, they can't stay consistent with writing content. That's the big problem that I talk about with anyone in the space. They always come to me and they're like, yeah, the biggest problem with my clients is that they just don't write content. They just don't stick to it. That's literally all you have to do to stand out. But beyond that, once you're at this point, you can funnel extra cash into building whatever it is you actually want. Like if you wanted to achieve the impossible, now you're that much closer to it. If you had this grand idea of building a billion-dollar company, now you have the ever-increasing cash flow because leverage, digital world, if you have 10,000 followers and make $3,000 a month, then you know you can get to $100,000 and make $30,000 a month. And if you get to 1 million or higher, or you just optimize your offer stack and value ladder, you could get to 100,000 and make $100,000 a month. Or if you know what you're doing, you can have 5,000 followers and make $100,000 a month. I see people do it all the time. So this video was for big picture understanding. There was like a little bit of technical details in here, a little bit of like step-by-step action plans, kind of. Big picture matters above all of those things because the prescriptions, the do this, 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 and this, is not going to help you. It may help you with clarity and taking action, but never are you going to be able to actually attribute your results to a simple string of steps. It's all experience. It's all trial and error. Use what I told you here and use it as a rough guide. But if you want practical steps, then go watch any of the One Person Business videos or check out my courses or Cortex University within the links in the bio. With that, I truly appreciate you watching. Thank you so much. Like, subscribe, do whatever you got to do. Have a good one. Peace.